Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora and hello. I've been asked to tell you about No Labels, the radio show for, by, and about people living with disabilities. The show offers interviews and news about the disability sector in Aotearoa, New Zealand. On Wellington's Access Radio 106.1 FM. Find us on Facebook or go to www.accessradio.org.nz. No Labels, our voice for you on Access Radio.
And welcome to this edition for September of No Labels. And this week, in fact, over the last few weeks, there's been quite a lot of discussion in social media and on email groups, etc., around a draft piece of work that's out there for consultation. And so this edition, we're talking to Ben from Whaikaha. Ben, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Kia ora, Thomas, and kia ora koutou, everybody. My name is Ben O'Meara. I am a Deputy Chief Executive at Whaikaha, and the bit of Whaikaha that I look after is called Policy and Insights. I've been here for about 2.5 years, and before that have spent over 30 years now doing various public service roles across government and some time in regional government as well.
Right. So it's quite a diverse background. Did you see any of those jobs as being extremely challenging, and because of the environment, or because of what policies might have been coming through while you were there at all?
I think there's lots of challenging issues that we deal with, and you know, people often think that a new government will be able to come in and solve some things, and if only we did stuff a different way, it would sort things out. But often, during my time in education, working on learning support, or in my other roles in economic development, there's no real right one answer that means that if you just did this thing, everything would be sorted out. These are very complex systems, and I think that's also true for disability, right? There's a whole range of impairments, great diversity out there. What will work for one person won't necessarily work for another person. Yeah.
Right, okay. And so your role at Whaikaha, maybe you could explain a little more what, as say, Deputy CEO, what does that entail?
So,
what teams come under you?
Most government agencies have what is described as their leadership teams, and that's usually the chief executive, and then the second tier, which I'm a part of. The ministry. Most ministries have a policy function and some kind of data function, and that's what I look after for Whaikaha. The kinds of work we do, apart from the disability strategy, which we're going to talk about, is that our data team does a lot of work with Statistics New Zealand and other government agencies to effectively put a lens across the data that's collected from a disability perspective, and to identify outcomes and stats for disabled people, and to present them, particularly we're focused on doing that across time so that we can see, okay, this is the result for disabled people today, but what's the time series of data, and how are those outcomes changing? Hopefully they're improving, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're just staying the same. And then the other bit is the policy team's work. So in addition to the disability strategy, the main two things, well, it's probably three other things we work on. One is the government's response to the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And so we coordinate that. The government received 63 different observations, they were called, when we went to the UN in 2022. And so the government is progressing most of those, and 17 of them are being looked at through the New Zealand Disability Strategy. We're also doing quite a bit of work to support the Crown response to the Royal Commission into Abuse in Care. So, with the Crown Response Office, we're looking at all of the work that's happening to respond to the many recommendations that came from the Royal Commission. And then the last thing is there is a lot of agency work across government that relates to people with disabilities. So it can be from the justice sector, the education sector, transport, total mobility, all sorts of things. And so the team, they respond to proposals from other government agencies that go to cabinet ministers and to cabinet around changes that they're going to make. So we get to comment on lots of other agencies' work, and that's not work that everybody outside government gets to see, but people should be assured that Whaikaha is involved wherever we can be and stuff that's going to impact on people with disabilities.
That's great. It really gives our listeners a great snapshot, or even more than a snapshot, on some of the work that Whaikaha does. That's great. So the disability strategy. So we have one at the moment. How long has the current disability strategy been in place?
About 9 years. So the current one is 2020, oh sorry, 2016 to 2026. And so the aim here at the moment is to get a new one ready for 2026, to replace, refresh the current disability strategy, which is getting on a bit now.
So maybe we could start by explaining to our listeners the disability strategy. What sort of things does it cover to start with anyway, and then look at what's in the current one, and then how do people have a say or have input into it?
I think I described the key thing that the disability strategy is trying to do is to prioritise the efforts of government in terms of improving outcomes for disabled people.
Right.
And I guess that's important because there are so many aspects of our lives that that could be worked on, right? And there are many areas where disabled people have not as good outcomes as non-disabled people. And so the strategy is about trying to identify, first of all, what's our vision for the way the world should look overall for disabled people. And the 2016 to 2026 strategy had a vision which was largely, I think I would describe it as based around a non-disabling society.
Right.
And so we did some work earlier this year with a number of disability groups to update or to seek their views on updating the vision. And the one that's proposed in this draft strategy this time around is more around disabled people thriving, I think I would summarize it as. And so kind of a the sense was that non-disabling is not necessarily a term that resonates with people. I think it is probably quite strongly linked to the UNCRPD, but people sort of felt that it may not be the most positive way of looking at a vision. Then the strategy has a set of principles which were also in the 2016 to 2026 strategy. And again, when we talked to people about that earlier this year, the thought was that the set of principles has probably evolved since then. There's been a lot of feedback around using the Enabling Good Lives principles, and particularly through the current engagement process. And we've had a number of people say to us we should just adopt the Enabling Good Lives principles. In the work we did earlier this year, people said, actually, it's broader than that. It includes EGL, but it also includes other stuff around accessibility and those sorts of things. So when people look at the seven principles, you'll see that it includes choice and control, But it also includes accessibility, the Treaty of Waitangi, various other things. So then finally, the strategy has the refreshed draft strategy has five priority outcome areas. I think it would be fair to say that this is a bit more focused than the 2016 to 2026 strategy, which had eight main outcome areas. The five that are in this strategy, which link strongly to the government's goals for public services, are education, employment, health, housing, and justice. And for each of those, it's got there's a kind of a goal, and a like, what are we aiming to achieve here? Then there's a case for change, which sort of sets out where we are now, and then some actions to be taken over the next 5 years. And just the final piece is there's some cross-cutting issues, which came up a lot as the working groups went through the process of working on each of these chapters for the priority outcome areas. And those are around accessibility, the workforce, and data as being really key for disabled people. And we have had quite a lot of feedback, particularly around accessibility, that there's not enough detail on that cross-cutting theme. So we'd really welcome more thoughts around that and what's needed there. So sorry,
Exactly.
that's a bit of a long spiel
No,
there,
no.
Thomas.
But I was going to ask you, do we collect enough data around disability and accessibility? We have a census, and that's going to change. But do we collect enough information, or is there more information that's needed to help better understand?
Things have really improved in terms of disability data in the past 10 years, but we're still not there.
Right.
And so, for example, one of the things that we are really keen to do is to be able to disaggregate education outcomes and more health outcomes for disabled people. And what you need to be able to do that is anonymized but individual information, so on how many children who are going to school have a disability, and what that impairment is. And we don't, even though schools hold that data, we don't hold great data at the centre in government, for example, around disability and schooling. So there's more work to do there. The Ministry of Education have worked with us to put an action in the strategy to do further work on this. And that's only one area. So there are those kind of areas where we've got a little way to go in terms of more data.
So, if people want to read more or learn more, where best they go to get information?
So the best place to find everything is at fikaha.govt.nz/disability-strategy.
Right.
If you don't remember all of that, even just going to fikaha.gov.nz, you'd be able to see a link to it. We have got a new survey tool that we're using to ask for people's feedback on the strategy, and it has New Zealand Sign Language, it has easy read, and it has an ability to read out the questions. And so that's designed so that there's lots of different ways to access the information. People can also submit a recording or a video to us of feedback. People can email their submissions to Disability Strategy, that one's without a dash, at fikaha.govt.nz. And also on our website is information about the meetings that we're holding during the consultation period. We've already had about 20 different engagements, and
Wow.
we are just over halfway through at the moment. So this week we're in Tairāwhiti. and in Hawke's Bay and in Northland. And we have upcoming engagements in Christchurch, planning for some more in Auckland. And we have tried to support community organisations to run outreach for us as well. So some sessions are being run by whakaha and some are being run by community organisations to gather feedback. So we're keen to hear people's thoughts and to think about how we might strengthen the strategy, and all of that information will be analysed by us and then go back to ministers in terms of his areas where we could do more. As usually people ask for more, not less, I think. Yes.
And so when do submissions close?
The
September.
28th of September, so 2 weeks from this Sunday.
Right. Okay. So got plenty of time to get on online, check out the information, and read it and make a submission. So some meetings that have been taking place. Can you tell us a little about, what some of the flavor of those meetings have been like? Not so much the place themselves, but just the sense of flavor that have been coming through.
So, a real variety of feedback. I think, some people have been able to read the document and have said things like, in the area of housing, for example, these actions could be strengthened if there were minimum standards, around the level of accessibility, and there were more, if there were more incentives or regulatory levers being used for housing. If people have said that there are other issues in justice that should be covered, for example, the police, particularly, which the public who the public most often interact with, ensuring that the police understand disability. And so when they interact with disabled people, they are aware of how to best respond or adapt what in the way that they do their work to meet the needs of disabled people, those sorts of things. On top of that, we've also heard a lot of people's personal experiences, and it's often excuse me, it's both very humbling for us, as people who I guess often most of the staff here, of course, who are disabled, including me, we have employment, we have often kind of, or we've generally got sufficient income to support a reasonable life and those sorts of things. And when you go out and talk to people, you often hear of situations where things have not gone so well. So, for example, it has taken a long time for someone to gain access to a modified home through kāinga ora or in some other situations, or there's just not been anything available in the area that they've needed help. Situations where people have had to leave employment because their impairment has worsened over time, and they've not it's not been possible to adapt to that as quickly as the employer has needed. And so I guess a lot of situations where people have experienced real challenge in their lives, and both some situations where that's worked out okay, and others where it remains an ongoing day-to-day struggle for them. And I think that's really important for us as well, because these are the real on the ground impacts that that are out there. And these processes around disability strategy, they're a real opportunity for us to get out and talk to people about their day-to-day lives as government, rather than just working in in our office buildings. So we value that feedback as well, even though we need to try and kind of lift it up a bit to think about the strategy. It makes those experiences that we're trying to change really real.
Was there any mention at all of a access legislation at all in when you talked about housing before about making codes inclusive around accessibility or changing legislation? Was there any discussion around we had on the table for a while some discussion around access legislation and where that might be going or not going?
I haven't heard about accessibility legislation at the meetings that I have been at, but I'm sure we will get submissions
Right.
around strengthening accessibility. And I think the thing about when you kind of think about the five priority outcome areas, there might be aspects of accessibility that would benefit from regulation in those areas that would be more detailed than a kind of across the board accessibility act or legislation would cover. And so as an example of that, the Education and Training Act, has an obligation that every child has a right to attend school full time. And that was something that was added, when the act was updated. The challenge around that is that we still hear from people where they are urged not to have their child at school full time because a support is not available for the full day or those sorts of things. So I'm always conscious that putting something in legislation is important, but actually being able to deliver on that expectation is also really important.
And I think, while we hear lots of great stories about, the different legislations around the world, when you visit a lot of those countries or you talk to people who live there, they're not delivering as well as people may think they are. You go to America and there's still massive, there's no curb cuts on many intersections or whatever it might be. So while the legislation is in place, it's actually how you manage it and how it's implemented or not implemented in some cases.
And it's about having the right incentives for people to do
To
the
do that.
right thing. And
Exactly.
particularly, I think it's often the case, particularly around infrastructure things, that it's when those big investments are being made, when the footpaths are being upgraded, when the buildings are being upgraded or built, those are the
Yes.
opportunities
Chance to do it.
to do something. And a lot of people have pointed out around housing, for example, that it's actually, and the Housing Working Group identified this as well as a part of developing that chapter of the strategy. It's much more cost effective to think about accessibility at the start than to try and retrofit it, particularly in cases where you need wider doorways and or, more level access, all those sorts of things. It's
Exactly.
so that's kind of where we need to move to over time. And the other really interesting thing is the role of the public and private sector and how we ensure that we make progress in both those areas, particularly for housing, where actually there's a lot more houses built by the private sector than there is by the public sector each year.
Hey Ben, look, thank you for coming in and talking to us about the New Zealand Disability Strategy and how people can have their say, but also providing us with a great overview of, some of the key areas that FICAR are involved in. Now, before we go, you've got a song. Now, what is it and why is it your favourite song at the moment?
So I try, although I'm not always successful, to sort of keep up with a little bit of modern music. I have two grown-up kids, I suppose you describe them as, who are 19 and 22, and so At the moment, my favourite song is "Survive" by Lewis Capaldi. This is kind of a comeback song for him after a period of difficulty, and I guess it's about his struggle and the conclusions from that struggle around really knowing that he wants to survive and carry on. And sometimes I think we all go through periods of when life is tough, and so it's good to have these kind of inspiring songs, and it's also catchy. So yeah, that's my current thought.
Hey, look, thanks, Ben, and let's go out listening to Survive.
How long till it feels like the wounds finally starting to heal? How long till it feels like I'm more than a spoke in a wheel? Most nights I feel that I'm not enough. I've had my share of Monday mornings when I can't get up. But when hope is lost and I come undone, I swear to God I'll survive. I feel that I'm not enough, but I refuse to spend my best years rotting in the sun. So when hope is lost and I come undone, if it kills me too, I'm gonna get up and try. If it's the last thing I do, I've still got something.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.